What is it about getting a letter from a loved one that always makes for a special occasion? I don't have the exact answer for that question, but I do know this. Every time I write my mom, which is not nearly as often as it should be, I know this. My phone will ring about 15 minutes after that letter hits her mailbox, and her voice will be brimming with joy. I know that when John asked me if we got any mail today, I know he is not asking about the bills, circulars, or catalogs that do come every day. He is asking whether or not we got a letter from friends or family. My grandmother kept a diary every single day of her adult life. After she died, she gave those diaries to my sister to read them and compile for the family. And one thing that my sister noticed was how often those daily entries led off with news that a letter came and how that made her day. I remember that my grandmother would say that the only thing better than getting a letter was having one of us coming home to share the news in person. When that letter that Michael read arrived at the church in Thessalonica, it was a very special occasion. That letter, you see, is far from an ordinary letter. It is quite possibly the first letter that Paul wrote to any of the churches he worked with, and very likely the oldest piece of writing in the entire New Testament. But that is not what made it a special occasion. What made it special is who it came from and what it said. When he left them, Paul said that he would write. As he left Thessalonica, he reminded them of all they had been through together, how hard he had pushed them, day and night, the story goes. How he had revealed a God to them that took their breath away. How he inspired them to live lives in imitation of Christ, lives that matter, lives worthy of God. As he left, he looked them in the eye and said that he would write. And that letter, it had finally arrived. And you gotta believe that within 15 minutes of it getting to them, word had spread. So everyone got together, crowding into a room very much like this one. Well, okay, it was quite a bit smaller. It did not have that gorgeous stained glass. Wood carvings, stencil-painted walls, no vaulted ceilings or cupola, and it certainly did not have that magnificent choir or organ. But in all the important ways, that room was very much like this one. The room was filled with the Holy Spirit, music wafted through the air, and the room was packed. Packed with sisters and brothers trying their best to live faithful lives, lives worthy of God and of each other. Together, they listened to those amazing words you heard read again here this morning. How Paul gave thanks to God for them. How he remembered their works of faith, their labors of love, and their steadfast hope. Words that told them what they are doing matters. And can't you see it? As the people in that room listened, their spirits lifted, their faces filled with joys, their eyes with tears, and maybe even a bit of healthy pride snuck in about their job well done. They felt loved. He said that he would write. And while, like my grandmother, those Thessalonians would have rather had Paul come in person, when that letter came, they cherished it. I want each of you to think for just a moment about a letter from a loved one that you received, one that lifted you up. Think now for just a moment about a letter you cherish. What did you do with that letter? We know what the Thessalonians did. After reading that letter, history tells us they saved it. They tucked it away. And me? Well, I agree with them. I keep those letters. I love them. I keep so many of them, in fact, that my husband, as a wedding present, refinished an entire steamer trunk from 1865 just so that I would have a place to put them all, to safely tuck them away. But here's the thing that I have learned, the same thing those Thessalonians clearly learned, and the thing I hope we take with us today. Those letters are not meant to stay in that trunk or safely tucked away anywhere. They are meant to be brought out and read, not just to lift us up or stoke our pride, but to remind us what is important and who we are called to be. That letter Paul wrote, it got brought out by the Thessalonians time and time again. It got shared with new members of that church who hadn't heard it before, so that they knew all about this family they were joining. So that they remembered the legacy of those who had come before them, not as a prideful thing, but an inspiring one. Together, they reminded themselves, old and new alike, about how the Spirit moved their forebears to do amazing things, and their spirits they lifted, their faces they filled with joy. Because reading this letter wasn't just about highlighting a wonderful past. No, they read this letter again and again to remind themselves to listen for the Spirit in their own time, to find the spotlight shining down on the path before them, so that they too might become beacons of the Word of God, examples for others to follow, people about whom letters might be written. Over the years, here at Old South, we have received letters that we have cherished and tucked away too. And so, as we gather here, crowded into this room, brothers and sisters with the Spirit moving through us, it is only right that we read them, bring them out and read them again. Like the one from Catherine, a marathon runner from Minneapolis. She came to this place and felt so moved by worship and the extravagant welcome that she went home and shared the story with everyone that she knew. She wrote to us about how sometime later, a teary-eyed friend she had told came up to her and told her about how he is gay, and even though he goes to church each and every week, he never feels welcome. How he dreams of the day he might find a place like this one. Or the one from the retired couple in California who wrote, "We have never experienced as meaningful a worship as we did at Old South last Easter." Or the couple from Toronto, who, after hearing a sermon by Quinn, felt that God had sent him as an angel to them on that day. It's what they said. Or, friends, that cherished message that was, like my grandmother said, even better than a letter, because it was delivered in person just 4 weeks ago here in this very room, packed with the Spirit. The message, you might remember, came from Linda Burston, a Women's Lunch Place employee, who, in the words of Paul, has dealt with more than her fair share of persecution, and yet has become a beacon of God's great love herself. She, in the most heartfelt and emotional way, thanked this church for taking that great program in when they needed a temporary home this summer, and when, as she said, no other church in Boston would. She thanked us for treating God's beloved daughters, as she said in these very words, with a lot of dignity, with a lot of honor, and with a lot of respect, even in their most insane moments. How the volunteers and the staff of this church, rather than judging, welcomed the women with open arms. She thanked us for being imitators of Christ and making a difference. Letters that bring a tear, that make us smile, and fill us with joy. Letters that tell us what we are doing does matter. Here today, we bring out letters and read them so that those who have not heard them before know our story, and so that Jim, Rebecca, Brent, Edwin, and Katie can learn about this family they are joining. We bring out our cherished letters, and together we share that story, old and new alike, not to boast, but to remember. Not to praise ourselves, but to give thanks that the Spirit has been and still is moving in this place too. Not just to highlight our great past, but to shine that spotlight on the future God has in mind for us. To help us think about who else needs a welcome. To inspire us to think about how to extend sanctuary to the countless other women's lunch places that have no home. To not just live on the shoulders of those who have come before, but to live into that vision that God has placed before us. And so, good friends, brothers and sisters, the questions before us today are the very same ones Paul put to the Thessalonians right before he left. How will we live lives worthy of God? How will we in this room really and truly become a family? How might we work long hours, night and day, to spread the word of God in hopes that someday others who walk through these doors will write letters. Letters that in turn will be read in a place brimming with the Holy Spirit and filled with sisters and brothers. Letters that will tell the story about how that same Spirit has moved us to use our simple lives to spread the good news of Christ far and wide. May God bless this family, our work together, and our lives, that when they do, what they see in us will be worthy of the God who takes our breath away. And it will be a very special occasion indeed. Amen.